I saw a Maaseh brought down. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but the Maaseh brought down a certain town yesteryear that there was a problem with some people should drink a little bit too much. And this ran the year, not just on Purim. They were just drinking a little bit too much. It was an issue in town. It was an issue that people just drank too much. The police had to go to the bottom of it. They had to see to it. So this was the years before they had the breathalyzers. It was long before. So they needed to deal with it. So what they did is that the police, whenever they saw somebody that they felt that is a little bit, so they used to take him and say, you know, you drank too much, and you had to give him a fine. But the problem was that people always said, no, I didn't drink anything. What do you want from me? I'm totally sober. I didn't. So it was a bit of a problem because the police said, you know, you're drunk. And the people said, no, I didn't drink anything. I'm sober. Why attacking me? As people tend to say when they're a little bit drunk. They say, I didn't drink not too much at all. So they thought of a very, very good eitzah. The police then, they always went as a pair of two. And used to take a string. It was a very good eitzah. They used to take a long string. And you take one police would be holding it on the other side. And the other one would put it on the floor as a straight line. And he said, listen, okay, you, and it found somebody on the street, like, all wobbly and all that. So he said, you know, you want to find him. So, but before, as a test to see as to whether he's drunk or not, they said, you know, you walk on that string, and if he can walk straight, then fine, then he's perfectly sober, he's fine. But if he had drank too much, and he wouldn't be able to manage to walk just a couple of, I don't know, a few meters, to walk on the line, on the straight line, he wouldn't be able to do that, because he's drunk, so he wouldn't be able to walk straight. So that was, it's a very good idea, no? I think it should work. So they did that, and at one point it was, they caught somebody, the police, they saw somebody walking on the, and he was totally drunk, and they called him over and said, listen, we think you need to pay a fine, you're drunk. And he said, I'm not drunk at all. He said, no, you are. He said, okay, fine. So they said, okay, I want you to walk on that straight line and see if you can walk in it or not. And then he looks at the line, and the two police prepared, they put the line on the floor, and they prepared. And he said, no, you go for it, see if you can walk straight or not. If you can walk straight, you'll be right. If you can't walk over straight, then we'll have to fine you. And he said, I'm happy to do it, I have no problem at all. But first of all, make sure that the line is totally crooked, first of all. And second of all, why putting three lines on the floor? You should put one line on the floor of three. And they're all crooked, and they're all over the place. So the nimshel or the morale of the story is, of course, that people tend to blame others. Whenever there's something going wrong, people tend to blame others. Whereas it's a natural reaction of a person to say, you know, there's three lines, they are crooked, they're all over the place, instead of realizing that actually, no, he is actually drunk, and that didn't occur to him. I think it's a nice story. Okay, we are up to the halachas of Simon Kuf Aleph, page 260. And the very important and critical Sif Aleph that we covered on Thursday, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbach Shemo, taught us about the importance of Boch of Ovis, that a person needs to have Kavona and Ovis and its Markev. By the way, something which I failed to mention on Thursday, what Kavona are we referring to over here? What kind of Kavona? Is that the regular Kavona of Mitzvah Tzichas Kavona that we know? For all the mitzvahs, you need to have intention when you fulfill the mitzvah. Or is it something else? What kavanah are we talking about over here? If we say that ovus needs to have kavanah, and if you don't have kavanah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Bialocha actually points this out. Bialocha goes into this point. The Bialocha discusses this is not the regular intention we're referring to when it comes to all the other mitzvahs. It's not the mitzvah tzichas kavanah that we know by shofar, by lulav, by sukkah. It's a different mitzvah. This is not mitzvah tzichas kavanah. This will be referring to perish amelis. The understanding, the translation of every word one says during ovus. So it's not the regular mitzvah tzichas kavanah that we find elsewhere. It's a different concept altogether. Now, I mentioned on Thursday this Bia Alocha that says, what happens if somebody realizes in the middle of Shemona Esser, Atu Gibbo, he suddenly realizes, I really had no Kavona whatsoever. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but Atu Gibbo, you realize, you know what, I went through the whole of Ovis and I didn't have a Kavona. So what is a person meant to do then? What is a person meant to do then?
He carries on.
But if he's
Sephardi, he goes back to the first Brocha, I
think. He's as far as he goes back, if Ashkenazi carries on. Right, so this is true. The Ramah says one should carry on, as you were saying, one should carry on. The question, of course, is how can a person carry on having not had the first brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and he wasn't Yotze at all? So we mentioned what the Bialocha suggests, and that's not the Minhag. I really think it's not the Minhag. The Bialocha says one should stay put and wait for the Chazal to shut. I saw today, Mr. Shenholz, your Ha'orah that you mentioned, I saw today that Reb Shlomo Zalman said exactly the same point. You mentioned that that could be the Chazan doesn't have Kavona to be Moitzi. And I said that is a general Kavona of the Shliach Tzibur to be Moitzi everybody, or that's part of the tefillah. But Reb Shlomo Zalman says exactly what you were saying. Reb Shlomo Zalman quotes this Bialocha, and he said that's not Halocha Lemaisa. You can't actually wait until the chazan goes over. It's not going to help because it's very likely. Mama, your point, Mr. Shenholz. He's going to, Reb Shlomo Zalman Tain, that it's very likely that the chazan doesn't have kavana to be moitzi you. You're going to be waiting until the chazan comes and he repeats Shemoneh Esrei, and you are listening carefully, but could be the chazan is very likely not to have kavana to be moitzi you. So it didn't help anything. So that's Mama, Reb Shlomo Zalman says. Therefore, the suggestion which is made by other poskim is, and that's, I don't remember, you mentioned it or somebody mentioned it. Rabbi Kagan mentioned that you should think in your head. So today I saw Makoy for that.
It's in the email as well.
It's in the emails. It says it. Ah, okay. It's the Eretz Tzvi. And it's brought down also in the name of the Chazon Ish. It's not in the Sefer, but the Chazon Ish is quoted of having said that Eitzah. If you feel you race through others and you have no Kavona, Chazon Ish apparently said, but Eretz Tzvi certainly says, that one should go in your mind over others, not verbalize it, just in your mind, and that will do. It's a big chiddush, it's a very big chiddush, but that's apparently what some of the Gedolei Achronim say. The email says it, yeah, I didn't, the Dish emails, very good, excellent. Okay, so that's very good. Right, okay, that's, I thought to add these couple of points. This couple of points following what we learned on Thursday. We are ready to foresee bass, which goes into another topic. How loud should one say Shemoneh Esrei? Somebody mentioned it the other week. How loud you should say it? That you can hear yourself. Should a person whisper it? Should a person say it loud enough? Can a person just say it in a way that even he doesn't hear it? This halach will be covered in the sif bass. Lo yispalel beliboy levad, says the Shulchan Aruch. Don't just say it in your heart. Elo, only, mechate chadvorim besfasa, we should literally cut the words in your lip, you should say it, verbalize it, humashmiha, and you should make it heard. What's the right word for that? You should make it
audible.
You should make it audible, is that the word? You should make it audible le'oznov, to your ears, belachash, silently. And don't make your voice being heard. So what does that mean in other words? How would you define that in other words?
Just loud enough that you can hear it.
Only you can hear it. So it's a very, very subtle whispering. If you're a person that cannot concentrate, unless you actually verbalize it loud. If by whispering you're not going to be able to have kavona, then you can raise your voice. But this is only if you're davening peyachidus on your own. But if you are davening publicly with the minyan, also you're not allowed to daven loud, even if it's on the cheshbon of your kavona. To also limit the tzibur because you're going to be having a great kavona, but it's going to be on the cheshbon of your neighbor. You have got this great kavona. But you're davening with a minyan, there's somebody davening on your right, there's somebody davening on your left, there's somebody davening in front of you and behind you. And here you go, having this great kavanah, but everybody else can't concentrate for 1 second. So, yes, it's true that if you can't have kavanah, you can say it loud, but that's only if you're on your own. If there's others around you, you must be silent. If, says the Ramah, you are saying it loud in order that people in your house should be able to learn Shemoneh Esrei, that's in order, that's fine. Where does that all come from? Where did this concept come from that you should say it loud enough that you hear it but nobody else? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot, Hey, first of all, He says as follows. Umashmiya. Some say that some say that no, you have to worry about the opinion of the zoya. Some say that no, you should be mamash silent. The Magen Avraham said you should say it even quiet. You should say it is no raya from the zoya. Vachinkosu b'vagov after the zoya ruk shashul chonoch. Vachinkosu shah achonim zutov yosel chatchile sheyesh miel oznov. So there is over here machloek is asked whether you should say it silently enough that you can't be heard. And machloek is what lechatchile, what the best way is. Says the Mishnah, according to all opinions, if you've said it, you've actually verbalized it, but you cannot hear it in your ear, you cannot hear it. So you verbalized it, but mamish quietly, that it cannot be heard at all, you're certainly yotze. Could even be, according to some opinions, but certainly with Yavet, you're yotze, you don't actually make it loud, you don't have to say it loud enough that it's heard. Does that make sense? What kind of level is that? That's mamish literally whispering, really. Just about whispering, yeah. Okay, but a person has to actually say and utter the words. Of course, if a person's mouth is closed and he's trying to get, that's not, he can't be Yotze Shmoneh Esrei. That's no doubt about it. So if Katan Vav goes into, where does that come from exactly, this concept of saying Shmoneh Esrei quietly? Go to Ashmiya. Where does that come from? The Ksevit says, but Filas Chano. It's in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel with regards to Chana. We all know the famous episode of Chana crying out to Hashem. Chanon Pnina, Chanon Davins to Hashem, she's always mentioned, as we say in Yiddish, that she doesn't have any children. Pnina has so many children, she can't anymore in the middle of the Suda, she runs away, and she goes into the Mishkan Shiloi, and then she just bursts out crying, not knowing that Eli HaKoyein is standing near her listening. So, but over there it says, that the Ksibet Filaschan, it says about Filaschan, Raks for sale noise, the Koyla Le Yishamea. Her lips moved and her voice was not heard. So we find from here that Eli HaKoyein, in fact, if you remember what it says in the Psukim, he thought that she was Sheker. And the reason for that, because she was not verbalizing, she was just saying it quietly. And he thought she's Sheker. Remember, in those days, people didn't really, Tefillah wasn't established as it is nowadays. People used to bring kabbonis. He says, oh, what you actually raises one's voice for the Shmoneh Esrei, has a Miktana Emuna, somebody doesn't believe in Hashem Cholila. It's if I don't believe that Hashem can hear tefillahs which are quiet. Somebody raises his voice by davening, has a minivya sheker. In fact, it's like a novi of idols, Cholila. We find by Elioba Kamel that they were read that the Nevi'ah Baal, do you remember the episode that's in Sefer Melachim Aleph, end of Sefer Melachim Aleph, they screamed out, the Nevi'im in Elioba Kamel, they screamed out, and then Elio himself makes fun of them. He says, maybe raise your voice, maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he can't hear you. And from here we find that somebody screams out loud to Hashem, he shows that he's, you know, you don't believe that Hashem can hear. Quiet tefillas. She cannot darken it because Avodah Zarah shalahen. It was the common practice of Avodah Zarah. People used to be screaming out to their idols. Time bevek Yosef v'chayotim lechatchilat zech lespar belachash kolkach shav chaveiro emet besamuch loy loyachol ishmai. And chayotim and bevek Yosef say lechatchilat should daven so quietly that your neighbor shouldn't be able to hear you. In fact, that's. He continues, Mishtaburu mikomokim, im yev shalol lichav minyan. If you cannot have kavona in such a quiet tefillah, yesh lalasus binin shocha lichav, and you have to do it in a way that you can have kavona, af shi zoya, shalol yatri la'acherim kde lekame. So it's a subtle balance over here. It's a subtle balance. On the one hand, you need to have kavona, and the louder you daven, the more kavona you have, on the one hand. On the other hand, you mustn't disturb others. Subtle balance. Subtle balance. And certainly to daven very loud, that's totally inappropriate because that's what Nevi'ah Baal used to do. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but that's not referring, that's Shmoneh Esrei. And they do. But this over here is referring specifically to Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, you daven once in Kalin? Yeah. It's true that you remember that forever. Yeah, it's quite an experience. Yeah. Yeah, okay. And in fact, in Tzif Kotten Zani addresses your point. Koiloi, afilu b'psukei dezim otoyv shalorim koiloi. Mishnah holds that you don't. Although what we said now was referring to Shemana Esrei, he said too loud. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he's not good even for p'sukei dezim. Doesn't affect what we said earlier. Doesn't apply to p'sukei dezim. But he said nevertheless, one shouldn't raise too loud by p'sukei dezim. Ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu shemeapelach Hashem listens quite fearless. Loi ka'oisim amagbiim koiloiisim idai. Yeah, miu b'Shabbos on Shabbos shenagim she'echod im b'psukei dezim or b'koil rom shapei domi on Shabbos the Israel for leniency. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Gimel. Yeah, Shaim shebiroi shashana v'yom kippur mutar lashmi akol mitfilah afilu b'tzibah. The Shulchan Aruch teaches us over here that no shashana and yom kippur it is permitted to daven extremely loud, not extremely loud, but to raise one's voice for shmona esra afilu b'tzibah even if you're daven in a minyan. Again, a subtle balance. Yes, in principle, you're allowed to raise your voice during Shemona Esra on your Shonim Yom Kippur. You're allowed to raise your Shemona Esra a little bit. However, again, it shouldn't be too loud. Why is your Shonim Yom Kippur different? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Aleph. La'orei kavanah to increase the kavanah. We all know how important tefillas are on Yom Niroim. We all know how important it is to daven well. And therefore, there is room for leniency to daven a little bit louder. Arguably, says Mishnah Berurah, "V'lemitra tzibur lo yichashinon," is that you're not going to bother others either, given she sidurim machzorim biyodom, because they've got sidurim machzorim in their hands, so it doesn't really bother so much that they're davening loud. Nevertheless, I'm going to avram the master yoyse tovel ispal belachash im yochal lechav v'lichikosu abeachonim. Nevertheless, it's still better. You're not meant to daven loud; it's just you're allowed to daven loud. Yeah. Probably one could argue. You're saying that since nowadays we've got Sidurim and people tend to use Sidurim, so one could be a bit more lenient as well, like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Maybe, maybe. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah is not so keen on it, Lemaisa. Yeah. Seif Dalet. Yochal Ispal B'cholon Shidin. Now we're going into a very controversial topic. Rabbi Sai, a person asked a common shaila, especially over the last 30, 40 or so years, or in fact, when the Russian Aliyah took place, there was a very, before the Aliyah, in fact, was the Russian rebirth of Yiddishkeit took place, and they were so distant from Yiddishkeit, many of the Yidden, they were so disconnected, the Shaila was, they don't know Lashon HaKodesh, they really don't know. Is there any, and they started to daven, many Yidden started to have a bit of an, it was an Isoirus, and Yidden started to get closer to Yiddishkeit. The question was then as to whether Gdol Yisrael were asked, is there any, they don't understand Shemona Esrei, if you give them a Shemona Esrei from a Siddur, they won't understand it. And it was long before the Sidurim came out, printed in all the languages. So the question was, can they daven Shemona Esrei in Russian? Meaningful Shemona Esrei, as opposed to a Shemona Esrei, which they'll break their teeth and not understand the word. So, is there any leniency, any room to be lenient to give a Russian person who is just about making his first baby steps in Yiddishkeit and he's keen to daven, eager to daven, is he allowed, are you allowed to give him a Shemona Esrei in Russian? Obviously, the same shaila will apply to any other language, but this is a real shaila that was asked Gdol Yisrael. What's your opinions? Shemona Esrei in Russian. Fine. Any other opinions?
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed?
It might be bidavet, though.
Bidavet, but it's fine. Shemona Esrei in Russian?
Understand.
That's what they understand. That's what they should do. Shulchan Aruch Seif Dalet. Yochai leispalel b'chol loshen sheyetze. A person can daven b'chol loshen, any language sheyetze that he wishes. V'hane mili betzibo. This is if he's davening with a minion. Avol b'yochet. But if he's davening without a minion, his own, lo yispal, he should not daven. I elo b'loshon hakodesh. If a person davens on his own, he needs to be in loshon hakodesh. If he davens with a minyan, he needs to be. It can be any language. V'yeshoyimim, and this others say tahanam elik sheshoy tzrochov. This is only if he begs for need, for real needs. Sheshoy tzrochov could go in such as yispal al choyle. If he davens for an ill person, oyal shum tzar sheyesh lo beveso. Chalili, somebody has got a tzar, an agony, a distress in his house. Aval tfila hakvua letzibur, but the general nusach hatefila, which is the established siddur, as it were, afil yochid, even an individual yochel amru becholoshen can say it in any language. V'yeishayim, some say, ta'af yochid shikshishol tzrochov yocholishol becholoshen shiirtzem, chutz meloshen arami. Some say no, even an individual can say it in any language that he wishes, chutz, unless it's not in Aramaic language, that was not permitted. So, we've got over here machloikas, threefold machloikas in Shulchan Aruch. Are you allowed to daven in Russian, yes or no? Are you allowed, for that matter, allowed to daven in English? Are you allowed to daven in Spanish, Manessa? Are you allowed to, yes or no? So Shulchan Aruch brings various opinions. Opinion number one is that there's a distinction as to whether you daven b'yochid or b'tzibur. If you daven in the minyan, the answer is yes. If you're davening on your own, the answer is no. That's the first opinion. The second opinion says no. It's nothing to do with what we just said now. The answer is as to whether you're davening. The point is as to whether you're davening for private personal needs. If it's private personal needs, you can daven in. You can. It has to be Lashon HaKodesh. If it's the established nusach. If it's the established nusach, that you can daven in any language. The established nusach, you can daven in any language. And finally, the last opinion says that no, any language is fine, even if it's biyochet, if it's betzibo, it makes no difference. The only point is it can't be Loshna Romi, and Loshna Romi is not permitted. This is interesting, but yes. You're still going to be down quietly. Why tzibur and yochid? Why is the distinction? Yeah. Okay. Good question. But yeah.
If he can read Lashon Kodesh, but he doesn't understand.
Good. If he can read but understand, that's what Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Yud Gimel. He says the following: Umetzum min amufchu davke b'Lashon HaKodesh. He says that lechatchila you should certainly daven Lashon HaKodesh. In fact, the Mefarshim and the Balei Musa and the Poskim say Lashon HaKodesh is so holy and so special that even if a person doesn't understand, the tefillah is a very powerful tefillah. If a person, it's written by Nevi'im, nearly. Some of them were Nevi'im. So it's a very, very, it's got Kedusha, an intrinsic Kedusha, and an intrinsic power. However, if you're going to be choosing to say it in another language, then you have to understand it, and it's lacking. And even then, first of all, you have to understand it, as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh, which you don't have to understand it. Even if you do understand it, it's going to be lacking that Kedusha element that Lashon HaKodesh has got.
You have to understand it. We just say, you don't understand what you're saying.
You mean the Sif Aleph?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. More than that, the Mishnah Berurah says, in the name of the Chasam Sofer, Ein, v'gam Ein, b'tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Erichayim Simen Peidalet Peivov, Sheikh b'kam Arayis, the first white line, he brings proofs. The Ma'ashe Tiru Leispalel, that we're allowed to daven, b'choloshin, hanudavke b'akoy. Even if you find the case that you're allowed to daven in a different language, that's only if it's not a regular practice. If it's regular, no. It's only if it's occasional.
But if you're establishing a nusach tefillah, and you're going to be appointing a chazan even, and then you're going to be lashkiach Lashon HaKodesh legam, you're going to be ending up forgetting Lashon HaKodesh, that is certainly not permitted. So the Mishnah Berurah goes in various, in additional few lines, we won't have time to go through them now, but you can see that he attacks very clearly there's some movements and some parties in Klal Yisrael who try to distance themselves from Lashon HaKodesh and try to establish the Nusach HaTfila in various languages. Chasam Sofer, of course, was living in times of the beginnings of the Reform movement and the early years of the movements of the Haskalah movement of the early years, where that's one of the very first things they did. It happened three times a day.
and they daven everything. But one of the first steps they did was to change it into different languages. Chassam Sofer attacked that together with all the Gedolei Yisrael. And they realized where it's heading to. And they said, definitely on the B'shom Pani V'Ofen, you're not allowed to change the Nusach HaTfilah. You know, even if sometimes there is a Heter, as we sing in Shulchan Aruch now, sometimes there is a permission to daven in our language, but that's not if it's a fixed, established Nusach HaTfilah. If it's once off, twice off, then okay. But as it's fixed, established, it's certainly not permitted. We understand that. So a person cannot just take a Siddur, even an Art Scroll Siddur, and start davening regularly and as a fixed thing in a different language. Leading back, just to finish off, with the shayla of the Russians. So what will be the halacha based on that?
I'm still not sure, because is it better to daven in, you can read a Lashon HaKodesh and you don't understand it, or is it better to daven in?
Good question. Right.
You do understand it.
Right.
I can see what you said before.
Very good. So, very much, Moshe speaks much about this. Moshe addresses your point. Very good. Absolutely. So, he says that Moshe says that even if a person fails to understand, if he can read Lashon HaKodesh and he can actually say it, it's better. He does allow some people who really are the very, very, he says that somebody really can't daven otherwise, he can daven in other language. But that's obviously not the preferred way, and also not long term. Not long term, based on what we're seeing now.
It's not such an issue now, any, because most, I mean, Russians now, they have Russian
and absolutely. Hebrew. Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, so just to finishing off what we discussed tonight, we added a few points with regards to Boch of Ovis, that it's Me'akev. We mentioned some points there, including the Chazanish's Eitzah. That you can, if you missed the Kavon initially, you can think about it later. We mentioned that it has nothing to do with Mitzvah Tzichas Kavon, Bi'alocha. We then spoke about the Sif Beis, which teaches us how loud a person should daven. The Maskona, to put it in one sentence, is that a person should daven loud enough that he has Kavon, he has to verbalize it, he should have Kavon. On the other hand, shouldn't be heard by others. Once you're disturbing others, that's no good. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one can raise the voice a little bit more, according to some opinions, but again, if you're disturbing others, that's no good. We then learned about Shemana Esser B'chol Oshon Shiyetzeh. Make Radin, a person can, in many occasions, daven in different language. The Mishnah Berurah concludes that it's no good if it's never the best way, point number one, and point number two, if it's only occasionally it stays room, if it's permanent, it wouldn't be acceptable. And because there's a Kedusha in Lashon HaKodesh, and a person who changes the language, Mishnah Berurah says, Avere, could lead to who knows what. One shouldn't really change the Nusach HaTfilah, and hopefully by having Kavanah in our Tfilah and saying it the right way, our Tfilahs will be Niskabel Mitzvah Hashem.